Hey y'all, I'm Sammy, your host of the You Were Made For More podcast. John 10:10 is a promise that Jesus came down to earth so that we would have life and have it abundantly. My prayer is that this podcast and all of the content that we put out would remind every student that they were made for more, simply because of who they were created to be. My own walk with the Lord and my relationships with the teenagers that I disciple have shown me that once we understand whose we are, the game changes. Or in other words, transformation happens. Our identity changes everything. We recognize that it takes investment and partnership between the church and parents to raise teens who know and believe who they are in Jesus. And we're here to help. So buckle up as we take this journey and take a look at what God has to say about friendships, relationships, sexuality, dating, and all the things in between. Hey guys, welcome to the You Were Made For More podcast. Today on the podcast, we are going to have a very special guest and an opportunity to hear from someone who is super special to me. And by the time we're done chatting, I think you'll feel the same way about her as I do. Sarah McSweeney is not only one of my dearest friends, but she also holds such a special place in my heart because she actually was one of the first youth group students I ever had when I became a youth leader my freshman year of college. Since then, she has graduated from high school, started attending college herself, and has begun leading student ministry faithfully in the church she grew up in, which is also the church where I met her. Sarah and her friendship is one of my greatest gifts, and our relationship reminds me of the redemptive work that can be done through broken people like myself, all because of Jesus. And I asked Sarah to come on the podcast today to talk about the importance of youth leaders in the lives of students. I know and believe that God sees these relationships as being so, so important. And I know from firsthand experience that they can be life-changing. For me, relationships that were with older, wiser adults who weren't my parents were critical to my spiritual and personal development, and they still are critical today in my mid-20s. So when you meet Sarah, I just know you're going to love her. I know you're going to love her story, her passion for what she's been called to. So without further ado, let's dive into this episode. Hi, Sarah. Welcome.
Hello.
To the You Were Made For More podcast. I'm pumped that you're here with us today. You're currently like off of school at yes. Like not doing college. So life is kind of crazy, but yes. I'm excited we get to take some time and talk about this stuff today. So can you kind of give us like a Spark Notes version of who you are? I kind of intro you like a little bit, like how I know you, a little bit about our relationship, but tell us like where we can find you every day. What does your life look like? Stuff like that.
Okay. So I am currently in my last semester of undergrad at Pitt. I am a big math nerd. My undergrad is in math. So most of my time is spent doing math homework or tutoring teenagers in math. I love math. So yeah, that's like what I spend most of my time doing. Currently doing school online for the rest of the semester because of Pitt saying no more in-person classes. So now I spend the majority of my time at home. And I have a mom and a stepdad and a younger sister who live there. And if I'm not at home, then I am with my fiance. His name is Seti. He works for Northlake Christian Community. And that's also where I intern. So basically, if I'm not at home, like doing schoolwork, I'm with him, or I'm at Northway, the Swickley Valley campus. I intern in student ministry there, and I lead a group of eighth grade girls who I've been with since they were in sixth grade. So I spend a lot of time with them. I like hanging out with my friends. I also ride horses, and just like love like to be outside, like taking my dog on a walk, or running, stuff like that.
So fun.
Thank you.
Yeah, your life looks a lot different now because
yes.
the coronavirus is
yes.
just wreaking havoc on,
yes.
on life.
It literally just turned my life upside down. So
yes.
We're in a season of adjusting right now.
Yeah, for sure. But normally you're like super busy, super involved
yes.
on campus to the University of Pittsburgh. You do crew there and...
Yes.
But life looks a little different now, but that's good because now we get to record the podcast.
Exactly.
So I guess it's good. But okay. So now that we have a little bit of background about who you are, what you do, I kind of already bragged about you a little bit in the introduction. But I want to just focus in on why I asked you to be on the podcast. Like everything involving youth ministry is really why I asked you to come hang out and talk with us today, because we talk to parents, youth leaders, and students every week and kind of equip them to do ministry, specifically surrounding relationships, but also like generic youth ministry, and what that looks like. So I know that you kind of grew up in like some of middle school and all of high school going to Northway Swickley's youth group where
yes.
you now intern. So can you talk a little bit about like how instrumental that was for you? How did you get connected there? Yeah, tell us a little bit about that.
Absolutely. So when I was in, well, let me start over. So I grew up going to a Catholic church. So I definitely like knew God and knew who he was, but the Catholic church doesn't have a youth group or really anything like that. So it basically was like, you go to church on Sunday and that was it. But when I was in middle school, it was the summer before I was going into sixth grade, we have really good family friends who were like, hey, do you want to come to this like youth group walk party with us? And so my sister and I went, and it was just so much fun. It was just like hanging out, pizza, that kind of stuff. But I just like remember like to this day, the biggest thing that stuck out to me were the people. Shout out to Brad Beggs, who just like 100% like always greets you with a smile and just was so high energy. It was just like, oh my gosh, I just like have to keep coming back to like hang out with these people because they're so fun. And the leaders who were there, it just was just, it felt like such a safe environment, that I just continued to go back and go back and go back and go back. And so, yeah, pretty much went like throughout middle school, and high school. And then as I got into high school is when I started to be more serious, like really being involved with my small group, being closer with my leaders. I had one who, when I was a sophomore in high school, was with me when we went to Laurelville, the weekend retreat, and I can talk about this later, but like, that's when I accepted Christ into my life. And she was really instrumental in like walking me through that. And then she sadly like left. But then I had a new leader, for 11th and 12th grade, who like to this day, is still one of like the most important people in my life. And it's just someone who I know, like I can always go to, and just like has always been, she called our small group like the Smushies. And so we call her like our Smushy Mama. And she just is that person who like is always like a forever Smushy Mama, basically, like whether you need a hug or a place to go or someone to like talk through something with. So those youth leaders like growing up were just super instrumental in my life. And even though like some of them weren't there like super long, like again, like you, Tia, people like that, just like the way that like I've stayed in contact with, like they stayed in contact with me and are just those people that like I have such a special bond with now, that like, I don't know, something about like a youth student and a youth leader, like that bond, just like it's just such a safe relationship and a relationship that honestly like I don't think will ever go away.
Mm-hmm.
Like I really don't see Tia that much anymore, like sadly like I don't see you that much anymore, but it's just one of those like relationships that like time, distance, anything like that really has no effect on. They're just someone who, you know, you can always go to, who will always give you a hug, you can always like process through something with. So youth group and like my youth group leaders growing up are like the reason I have a relationship with the Lord at all. And like the biggest reason that I am now a youth group leader, just because of the impact that they had on me.
Yeah, I love that. Well, I love how you pointed out first, like, someone invited you to youth group.
Yeah.
Because I think, like, as youth leaders or parents, like, we're always telling students, like, hey, invite important people in your life to come to youth group with you, you know? So that, like, power of an invitation can do so much, especially when your youth group is a place where, like, the leaders do create that environment where, like, you feel welcome and, like, you can have fun and that you can keep coming back. That's just so important. So you mentioned it a little bit, but talk about you. You mentioned going to Laurelville, which, if you're not from Pittsburgh or the Pittsburgh area, that's like the basically a weekend retreat, fall retreat that a lot of churches go to. Like, doesn't matter your denomination, but it's run by the Pittsburgh Kids Foundation. They're a great youth organization in the city, and they run this weekend retreat, and you went, and the 1 year you said that that's kind of where you accepted Jesus, he became real to you. So can you tell us a little bit about, like, what clicked for you then, like, what made that different than the other times you had heard about Jesus?
Yeah, so a big part of that weekend for me and just accepting Christ in general was my parents' divorce. So my parents got divorced when I was 8, and that was something that I struggled with a lot. I have, like I said, one sister. She's 3 years younger than me, and so the ages that our parents got divorced at were very different. She couldn't quite understand what was going on, but I fully did, and it took me a really long time to kind of, like, get over, like, why that happened. By this point, when I was a sophomore in high school, my mom had gotten remarried, and I love my stepdad. Like, I have a great relationship with him, but I just could not, like, fully accept the fact that my parents got divorced. And so I just remember that weekend at Laurelville, just, like, talking about that and, like, working through that, and then hearing messages. And it was during 20 minutes of silence, which on, like, the second day of the retreat, after the gospel is presented, everyone goes out and they just have 20 minutes of silence to talk, pray, just think, reflect, things like that. And I remember just sitting there and for the first time ever, just, like, fully understanding that, like, Jesus has a plan for me and for my life. And then that included, like, my parents' divorce. And for the first time I was able to accept that and then start to see the good in that, like the fact that I now have a stepdad, I have a stepbrother, like, there was so much redemption that came from it, and I could almost see, like, the gospel paralleled with, like, the redemption and, like, the fall of my parents' divorce, but then the redemption of my mom being able to get remarried and things like that. But the fact that I was able to, like, accept my parents' divorce was the reason that I was, like, okay, yes, like, I accept you, Jesus, like, I accept that this happened, and I accept that, like, you have a plan for my life, and I want to be a part of that. Like, I want to just, like, surrender it over to you.
So good. Yeah, I love that, because I think I love how you, like, mentioned that it kind of paralleled the fallen redemption and, like, the recreation story that they tell at Laurelville, and how that resonated with you. That's cool that you still remember that. So I think I met you, that was in what grade? You said 10th grade?
Yeah, I think it was either 9th or 10th grade.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think I met you when you were a junior. I think that's okay. When I started, like...
Yeah, because that would have been, like, Megan's first year.
Right. Yeah. I think that I met you when you were, like, halfway through your junior year, and then you graduated the next year. But we really became closer, like, more after you graduated. You were at my wedding, which is so fun.
Crazy.
But I kind of want to talk about, because we have, like, a lot of college students, like, older teenagers who listen to the podcast too. But what was that like? You transitioned out of a smaller public school in Pittsburgh, and out of a church family that you were really comfortable in, a youth group that you had become connected to, and you went to the University of Pittsburgh, which is a big university in the city. Were you like fearful of finding another ministry to become connected with? And how did you kind of go about doing that? What, especially when you went to a non-Christian university, like how did you go about getting plugged in when you got there?
So that was very hard. I would say that freshman year of college was one of the hardest years of my life. Going into it, exactly like you said, like I went to this like smaller public school. I lived, I don't want to say like a sheltered high school life, but basically in high school, like I never partied. I never really did anything. I just like worked. I went to the barn to ride horses, things like that. I just like wasn't into that. And then going to Pitt, living in a co-ed dorm on a co-ed floor, and just kind of like naturally becoming friends with like the people who were around me, not realizing that they were big partiers, just ended up like falling into that. And so because that was like my main friend group at school, it didn't really force me to get involved in any type of like campus ministry or any type of like student organizations, because I was like, oh, I have friends who like live right next door to me on my hall. Like I can just spend all my time with them. And so basically what I would do is like I would still just like go back to youth group in Sewickley. My parents are saints and they would come and like pick me up and then bring me back to Sewickley, and then like bring me back afterwards or like Monday morning or something. And I basically lived like that double life for the entire like first semester of college. And then I remember over Christmas break, it was even harder to live that double life because I was living at home, but like still trying to like hang out with those friends and go to parties and things like that. And I just like straight up hit rock bottom. And I remember still like once spring semester started, like going back to youth group. And I remember by that point, the youth pastor Brad had kind of figured out that I was living this double life just because I wasn't myself and I just like just seemed very off. And so he kind of called me out on that, and it forced me, not necessarily forced me, but that's kind of like what pushed me to get involved in ministry again, but for people more like my age and not like go back to the youth group in high school. So Brad helped me get connected with Northway's Oakland campus. Northway's a multi-site church. So they also have a campus in Oakland where Pitt is. And so I ended up getting involved in a small group there, like with college students. It was a co-ed freshman small group. And I started going to church again, things like that. And then it was through getting involved in that campus ministry that I ended up going on a mission trip over spring break. So that would have been the beginning of March to work with refugees in Pittsburgh through YWAM. And it was actually because of that missions trip, I loved it so much. And I really wanted to go back to YWAM. And I found out that the only way I could do that would be to be a leader on the high school mission trip to YWAM with Northway that summer. And the only way I was able to do that was to intern. So I ended up getting an internship at the Sewickley campus and student ministry for that summer in between freshman and sophomore year. And I was just planning on doing it for that summer. And then I was planning on going back to Oakland and interning in kids ministry because that's like what I thought I always wanted to do growing up was like be a teacher, work with little kids, things like that. But anyways, so through that internship over the summer, I met a girl named Danielle, who was super involved in CREW, which is a campus ministry, Campus Crusades for Christ, on Pitt's campus. And so because of Danielle, I ended up getting involved with CREW my fall semester of sophomore year. And that's the ministry where I met my entire friend group, my roommates that I've like developed leadership roles in, and that has like become my entire college community essentially. So that's kind of like the trickle down effect of how I became involved in CREW and Northway's college ministry.
So cool. Again, power of an invitation,
Yes.
because Danielle invited you, which is so cool. So now let's fast forward a little bit. Now you're in your last semester as an undergrad, at Pitt. So you're in your senior year. You have been interning at Northway since that summer, after your freshman year, and you kind of, which if you're not familiar with, like, what church internships look like, if you're listening and you don't know what that looks like, it's a set number of hours per week, and you're responsible for helping the director kind of run every weekly gathering for the students in your church. So it seems like not that big of a deal, but like from doing it myself for 3 years, it is a huge deal and a huge time commitment. And like doing life with students is like just is a huge time commitment, like if that's what you're called to. So what's it like being in ministry as a college student and like still doing all the things you have to do for college? And that answer probably is going to be like busy. So then I want to go off of like what role does mentorship and kind of seeking wisdom on where to spend your time, like how does that all play into your scheduling and all of that?
Yeah, so exactly like you said, it is busy and it's very hard. I spent honestly half of my life in my car going back and forth between Oakland and Sewickley, because what's unique about my position is normally people intern at the campus that's like closest to them. So for example, like a lot of Pitt students intern at Oakland, Geneva students intern at Beaver, things like that. Like mostly RMU students, like you were intern in Sewickley just because mm-hmm. of location. But like I had mentioned, I was only planning on interning for that fall or that summer, like that summer. And I really just felt the Lord calling me to stay. And he was so faithful, and he provided me with a car, and he provided me with money to pay for a parking pass, and just all these things just like lined up. And I just knew that I was supposed to stay in Sewickley. So I just kind of like adjusted my entire life to be like half in Oakland, half in Sewickley, which again is like very hard and very busy. But it's kind of put me in this position where I know that my community, like with my, so like for me personally, like where I get filled with people my age is in Oakland. But then like where I pour into is in Sewickley. And because of where I'm pouring into, I need to also get poured into, like you said, with a mentor. And so my mentor is also in Sewickley, because she, understands, she also volunteers in our youth ministry. But she is more seasons ahead of me than just like my community, and so it works really well to be able to be poured into by her, so that I can pour into my girls in our youth group. But it definitely makes me I would say like prioritize Sewickley more, because even though my community, my friends are in Oakland, in my opinion, it's like for me, or at least like I think that me pouring out into my girls is me more important than like my, like me spending time with my friend group and things like that. And so therefore I spend more of my time in Sewickley, and so that's why like my mentor is through the Sewickley campus, we meet in Sewickley, and because she's involved in our student ministry, it just works really well and is so beneficial to like be able to like process through things with her. She's also serving and leading girls younger than her, so we can talk through things like that. And so it just kind of, yeah, like I said, makes me like prioritize Sewickley over Oakland, which is hard, but I just know that like that's where God has called me to be. And I was very blessed and am still very blessed to have my community in Oakland, but I've just accepted that I pour more into Sewickley than I do into Oakland.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that, yeah, everything you just said kind of like really points to the kind of main point that I wanted to make for any youth leader that might be listening, or parent that like wonders what youth leaders do and things like that. But I think like a lot of it is leading, like you're leading girls who are younger than you every week, you know, and daily like in communication with them, but like you also have to be being poured into, right? So like having a mentor who is older, wiser, in a different season of life than you, that you can kind of like bounce ideas off of and talk through hard things with, you know, someone who like isn't your boss is really important. And I think it's like a lot like biblically being a disciple of Jesus, right? Because you're following someone, but you're also called to like lead where he's called you. So I think that even if you're not called to youth ministry, everyone who follows Jesus can relate to that, because we're all called to lead something, you know, whether that's our family or our some organization or something like that. I think that's a really important point. So your mentor is also a parent, and which I think is also really cool, because she kind of has like a unique perspective on a lot of things when you become a parent. I'm sure like your perspective just shifts a little bit. So as a youth leader, what role do you believe you play in the lives of parents, like specifically parents of your students who you're forming relationships with? Because I know sometimes like that's overlooked, but I think that relationship is super important.
Yeah, the first word that comes to mind is an advocate or a partner. One thing that our current youth pastor and student ministry director emphasizes is that we are partnering with parents, and we need to be advocates for them. And so one example, and I think this just kind of like highlights what youth leaders do and like their role, especially for parents. A couple years ago, I had a mom reach out to me and basically like explained a situation that her daughter was going through. And she was like, the reason I'm telling you this is because like, I'm asking if you can talk to her about this, because she's going to respond better to you than she will to me. And I was a middle schooler and a high schooler not too long ago, and I had my very, very, very fair share of fights with my mom. And middle schoolers and high schoolers do not respond well to parents. Like, they think that they are uncool, that they are out to basically destroy their life, and that nothing they say is right, because again, I had the same exact mentality towards my mom. And so I think because youth leaders have a really cool position in a student's life where it's like, oh, you're this like really cool older person that I can like hang out and have fun with, that bond and that trust is there, and that way like they do respond, not necessarily well, I mean hopefully well, but even if they don't respond well, they will probably respond better to a youth leader than they will a parent. And so I think that's like the highlight of like what youth leaders are supposed to do and like what they're called to do, is like those hard conversations that a student might not be able to have with their parent, whether they think it's like awkward or they just think that their parent isn't going to respond well. Youth leaders are kind of that like person in the middle to like intercede on that on the parent's behalf. Like most of the time, unless it's like a very unique circumstance, like taking the side of the parent and advocating for the parent, but kind of being in, like I said, interceding in the middle, because a student will probably respond better. So it's like they kind of go in between the two. Like it's almost like they talk to students for parents, but saying the exact same thing that a parent would.
Yeah, I think it's really cool, because like ultimately your parent, even if you can't see it at the time, like you said, I have been there too. Like your parent wants you to experience, hopefully, God's abundance in your life, right? So, and that's what we want as youth leaders. So I think like I've seen really cool moments happen where I can kind of step in and like be like, talk to the student, listen to them, but then also like encourage them, you know, like your parent is for you. They're not like trying to ruin your life or your fun or your relationships. Like they also want you to experience God's abundance. So like I hope, and I'm going to keep encouraging you, that you do talk to them about this. And I think like that's what I was missing when I was a teenager, you know? So I think like that's so cool when we do have the ability, like when we know that relationship is healthy, we can kind of encourage that line of communication. That's just really unique and special. Like not a lot of people can do that. So I want to ask you to kind of wrap up the interview. Like give us kind of your most challenging thing about being a youth leader, but then the best thing about being a youth leader.
Okay. I would say the hardest part about being a youth leader is honestly just knowing what to say sometimes. It's a really hard balance of responding to students in a way that still helps them form a bond with you and form trust with you, but also speaking truth. It's really that balance of truth and grace with students. They're at such a unique age, and they are just, I always describe them as sponges. Like, they just soak up everything. And so just having to be like so cautious about what you say. I know I've experienced this with myself, but even just like if I am frustrated in a situation, like when you spend a week with a student at like Surf City or something, like you get tired, like you have emotions, but having to be on like on guard all the time of like, I could make one comment here that they could latch onto, or like I could share something that they might take the wrong way, and really just having to be so aware of like what you're saying, how you're saying it. Even if you just like make an eye roll at someone because of what they said, like a student can pick up on that so easily. And so like, they are literally watching every single one of your moves and listening to everything you're saying. And so that just like, just having to be very cautious and like make sure that you're saying the right thing in terms of like biblical truth, like not necessarily what they want to hear, but that you're always speaking truth and acting as much like Jesus as you can. But I would say that that's also in a way like the best part of it, like the fact that my girls are just like little sponges and they soak up everything, like being able to pour into them like that, is just such an honor, and it's such a treat, like seeing the fruit that comes from that. So I think to sum it up, like the best part about being a youth leader are just the relationships. Like I was just saying to someone the other day, like there are weeks where like I see my girls and like spend more time with them than I do with my fiance. Like they mean the world to me, and just like forming those bonds of having like these younger people who look up to you, but who in like the same way, like are your friends and like you can like talk to things about. But then that comes with the added bonus of like, you get to speak biblical truth into them and you get to pour into them, and like, you can make or break a lot of their decisions and how they look at life. And you can even like make or break the trajectory of their life. Like that's really hard, but at the same time, like that's like the best part about it. Cause you're like, I literally get to like try to be like Jesus to these people. And like, this might be the only form of biblical truth they hear. This might be the only love that they feel. And like, you get to be the person that's doing that. And I think that that is just like the coolest thing ever.
Yeah. I think like, even in, because I do want to say, like, when I was listening, I was like, ugh, there have definitely been moments when, like, I have said things I shouldn't have said, and, or done something I shouldn't have done, like, involving a student. And I think, for me, the hardest part, but also the best, I think mine go hand in hand, too. Like, hardest part, best part is, like, being a youth leader is very humbling, because like you really see your brokenness when you're like trying to build and like form established relationships with teenagers, because we mess up, like we're broken, we say the wrong thing, we're not gonna have the answers, you know, like we do mess up. So I think I have seen God's redemption so much in those relationships and those instances where I'm like, okay, Sammy, like you are going to have to seek forgiveness about this. Yes. You're going to have to apologize. And it's a unique like role and calling that really like forces you to do that if you want to do your job well. So I just love, like, one of my favorite parts about youth ministry is like seeing God use our brokenness to like show his love to people who are navigating really tough transitions, who are in the younger phases of life. I just love that he like will use us and give us the privilege of doing that. So I want to wrap up, but I do want to ask you, like, going forward, you're about to graduate. What does the next season of life look for you? Like, you're getting married at the end of the year. So, like, life is about to look different. Like, what are you praying about for yourself? What can we be praying about for you? All of that fun stuff.
The biggest thing, I am starting a grad school program this summer. It's a 1-year master's in special education program, which I'm so excited about. But I am right now kind of discerning slash trying to figure out at the end of that, if I can, like, almost like not necessarily what I want to do, but just like where the Lord wants me. I can personally see myself and like would be very happy working in a school, being like a math or a special ed teacher, and pouring into students in that way. Or if I'm lucky enough, being able to do student ministry full time, like as a job. And Northway Swickley Valley is opening up or starting a sensory room or like autism friendly ministry in the fall with sensory rooms in the church. And I have such a heart for special ed and things like that. And so seeing if that's somewhere that the Lord wants to put me. But right now just kind of having to like think about that and like jobs that I'm accepting, like just like for over the summer and things like that, but really just like discerning where the Lord wants me, and then also throwing marriage into that mix in the next year. So
yeah,
it'll be a year full of changes, and I don't normally handle change well, but really just like for discernment and just like peace with a lot of the change that's happening.
Okay, cool. Well, okay, let me pray for us to wrap up, and then we'll say bye and sign off. But dear Lord, I just thank you so much for technology that amid like the craziness that's happening in the world that allows us to kind of catch up and reflect on youth ministry and its importance. And I just thank you for my relationship with Sarah and the fact that I met her when she was a high school student, and now we're friends, and you've just really like blossomed that relationship, and I'm just thankful that I have gotten to see your redemption in that. I think it's just so cool to see that. And we're just thankful for all the ways that you call us to love other people, especially those who are younger than us, and the ways that you use us even in our brokenness and in our struggle to minister to other people. We know that it's a privilege and a blessing, and we're just really thankful that you've called us to work with students. And my prayer is that this conversation with Sarah, this podcast, would really like minister to youth leaders and parents and even students who like love their youth leader, that they would be encouraged by just seeing like what a heart for youth ministry looks like, and that there are people that are for them out there, and that a lot of them can be found in churches and in youth ministries, and we're thankful for all of that stuff. So we love you, God. We just thank you for sending your son for us. And yeah, thank you for all you're doing in our lives. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much.
So if you are a youth leader, a student, or a parent that was encouraged by my conversation with Sarah, I just pray that it would keep encouraging you as you go throughout doing the work you're doing, whatever that looks like. But I just know that this episode, my prayer for it is that it is an encouragement to people to see that the relationships we're focusing on forming are really, really important. So I pray that you will check out Abundant Life on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, wherever you frequent social media. Be encouraged by the content that we post. And if you haven't yet, leave us a star rating, leave us a review. That would be great. Until then, this is Sammy Gallo, your host, signing off, and we will see you guys next time.